The first reading is in the book of the prophet Ezekiel. For this is what the sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so will I look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel, in the ravines and in all the settlements in the land. I will tend them in a good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. There they will lie down in good grazing land, and there they will feed in a rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak, but the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. I will place over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will tend them. He will tend them and be their shepherd. I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be the prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us read Psalm 95, 1 through 7a, responsively. Come, let us sing for the joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation.
Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song.
For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods.
In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him.
The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land.
Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker.
For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
The second reading is written in the first epistle of St. Paul to the Corinthians. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in his own turn, Christ the firstfruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. Then the end will come, when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father, after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death, for he has put everything under his feet. Now when he says that everything has been put under him, it is clear that this does not include God himself, who put everything under Christ. When he has done this, then the Son himself will be made a subject to him, who put everything under him, so that God may be all in all. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel is according to St. Matthew, the 25th chapter.
Glory
to you, O Lord. Jesus is with his disciples in Jerusalem, and he tells them, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, And he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison or go to visit you?" The king will reply, "I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me." They also will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you?" He will reply, "I tell you the truth. Whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats, with the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. The sheep he will welcome into eternal life, but the goats he will banish into eternal punishment. So there. This is perhaps the most sobering and disturbing parable that Jesus tells. I don't like it. It calls into question every dealing with every person I have ever known. It's enough to keep you awake at night. How many times do I find myself among the goats? Among the goats, fail to see Jesus in the other person. Fail to see Jesus as the other person. Fail to do for or with or to this other person what I might do were Jesus there looking me in the eye. "Away from me, you who are cursed," says the king. "Away from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Whatever you did not do for the least of these, you did not do for me." Ouch. It sounds so fearsomely harsh, so severe, so final, the very last word. And I have no doubt that Jesus means every word of it, every last word. So completely does Jesus identify with the least, identify with the forgotten, identify with the ignored, identify with the rejected. Jesus sees in full view the awful truth that I really am the self-centered snob I appear to be, sees it clearly, that I readily love the lovely, but haven't got a clue what to do with the unlovely, that I quite willingly invite those who can invite me in return, that I'm quite unwilling to invite those who cannot afford me the same advantage. Away with you, he says. Away with you. And it's small comfort, I have to say, small comfort to know that I am not alone. It is small comfort to know that these foibles and failings of mine are widely shared, small comfort that we goats make up a sizable flock. Small comfort. Misery may love company, as the old saying goes, but even such company as we have among the goats doesn't make our judgment any less miserable. They will go away into eternal punishment, says the king. So pack your bags, Michael. This is the very last parable that Jesus tells in Matthew's Gospel. It functions as a kind of last will and testament, a final summing up of what matters in life as far as Jesus is concerned. What matters in life? And the two things at the top of Jesus' list, of course, are our relationship with God and our relationship with each other. And not just each other here, but each other across the world and across time. It's a huge group of relationships. Whatever divides us, whatever separates us, whatever sets us against each other or against God matters. It matters, and it must be addressed, and not only addressed, but set right. Set right. That's what the word righteousness means ultimately, set right. We are created, quite simply, for faith in God and love for each other, in fact, love for all others, and nothing less will do. Nothing less than faith will do. Nothing less than love will do. It's good for you, and it's good for me, if when you are hungry, I share my food. Now, that ought to be a no-brainer, but most of the world is hungry and remains hungry. How come? It is good for you and good for me if when you are thirsty, I share my drink. If when you are a stranger, I welcome you. If when you are in need of clothing, I help you dress. If when you are sick or imprisoned, I come and look after your needs. That's good for you and it's good for me. It strengthens both of us and renews both our lives, maybe even makes life possible. Think of a world utterly absent either of faith or love, and imagine that world, if you can, where life would be possible. I think not. May make life possible. Is it any wonder that Jesus' words are so strong, so firm, so pointed? Remember, he is at the end of his public ministry. His cross is just around the corner. Is it any wonder he's so urgent? So much is at stake. So much is at stake. So much, in fact, that for the sake of the sheep, and even for the sake of the goats, there's the wonder of it, for the sake of the sheep, but also for the sake of the goats, Jesus is willing to lay his life on the line. Jesus is willing to offer everything he is. Jesus is willing to pour out himself. This is my body, this is my blood, he says. Eat my life, drink me in, fill yourself with myself, he says. Fill yourself with myself, who loves the unlovely. Fill yourself with myself, who welcomes the outcast. Fill yourself with myself, who becomes least for the sake of the least. This is sobering and disturbing stuff. It is. It calls into question all our dealings with each other, calls into question our dealings with everyone. It doesn't merely aim to keep us awake, but it challenges us to wake up, to wake up to recognize how we wander in among the goats, to wake up and seek our place among the sheep instead. To wake up and marvel with the sheep. Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or imprisoned? When was that? And to hear with the sheep the king's reply. As you did it to one of the least of these members of my household, my brothers and sisters, whom I claim as my own, as you did it to one of the least of these, you did it to me. Let everyone say amen.